some?
Oh my gosh, they're just
awesome. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Let's stand up and have Logan do a solo.
Logan.
I pledge allegiance to the
flag. That's not
singing. That's not
singing. I went forward to the back.
No, you're not black. It's right there.
No, no. Selena. I looked over here and you were like, I can't go. You were just like, me. I'm like, are you okay? He's like, just keep my mouth shut.
We're getting there.
We all know that.
That's
not the
pledge of allegiance. How do you know? Let's do three of them. Let's start with 264. We got 262 in the garden.
Please.
364.
264. Wait. No. Kind of like, I know the story. There.
Yeah. Like, oh,
I don't
need to do
that. You want to do that? All right. Here we go. 264. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on.
Something we don't know. Oh yeah, not 320. That's a great one. Yeah. Let's do it. Alright, this might be a little new to some of you all, but I think most of you have gone through this one before. Nothing between. Here we go.
Nothing between my soul and the Savior. Not of this world's delusive dream. I have renounced all sinful pleasure. Jesus is mine, there's nothing between. Nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that his blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of his favor. Keep the way clear, there's nothing between. Nothing between like worldly pleasure. Habits of life, though harmless they seem, must not my heart from him ever sever. He is my all, there's nothing between, nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that his blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of his favor. Keep the way clear, let nothing between, nothing between like pride or station. Self or friends shall not intervene, though it may cost me much tribulation. I am resolved there's nothing between, nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that his blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of his favor. Keep the way clear, let nothing between, nothing between in many hard trials. Though the whole world against me convene, watching with prayer and much self-denial, triumph at last with nothing between, nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that his blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of his favor. Keep the way clear, let nothing between.
Good song, good song. One more. Two, Shimne, one. This is my anchor holds, right? Alright. 271.
Though the angry surges roll on my tempest driven soul, I am peaceful for I know, while we know the winds may blow, I've an anchor safe and sure that will evermore endure, and it holds my anchor. Grace,
underscore the light of day. But in Christ I can be bold. I've an anchor that shall hold. And it holds, my anchor holds. Blow your wild and oh yeah. All my bark so small and frail. By His grace I shall not fail. For my let's do one slow one. Close it out. There's, so 50s, Fairest Lord Jesus, that's a slow one. My Jesus, I love thee. When we see Christ. Holy, holy, holy. Would you say? We can sing There's a Fountain slowly.
That's a slow one, yeah.
Yeah, sing it the southern way. We put some slow version of There's a Fountain.
I actually like it like that, honestly.
Yeah.
All right,
let's do it. We'll do it There's a Fountain, old devotional style. Let's call it that. 222. Yeah, now you got to put some soul into it now. There's a Fountain, 222. Here we go. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains, lose all. Sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. We'll drop it down in verse 2. The dying thief rejoice to see that fountain in his day. And there may I go sins
song. I'll sing thy power to save. I'll sing thy power to save. I'll sing thy power to save.
For Jenny.
And then Jenny, come on up. Lord, just thank you for today and just what Bob had you put on Bob's heart. Lord, just preach it to us. Just use this song service we just had to prepare our hearts and minds for what Jenny has. Lord, just use her to just give us the word of God and help it to work effectually on us, Lord. Thank you for all you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Zach, for allowing me a chance to speak today. You saw my papers. It's very thick. It's because I had to write everything out so I don't get nervous and go off book here. But today I'm going to be talking about change. How many of you here enjoy it when things change? No. That's right. Not very many people enjoy it when change happens or is about to happen. It causes a little bit of anxiety. In fact, there's actually a disorder called anxiety due to aversion of change. A lot of people don't enjoy change because it disrupts the way we've always done things. It gets us out of our normal routine. And there's always that fear of the unknown. In fact, just this past week, I received a new laptop at work. So everyone in our office for the past 2 weeks has been getting them, and they're supposed to be going alphabetically, but everyone's always like, oh, no, I'm too busy to do that. So I was saying that too, but I finally had some time in my schedule, and I said, okay, you can change my next. So not only is, like, the feel of the laptop different, like, the buttons have a different texture and they're a different thickness, but it also came loaded with Windows 10. Exactly. For you Windows users out there, I'm not a big fan. So right now, all the people throughout the office, there's a lot of grumbling because of these laptops. They're like, oh, the home key has moved, or oh, my calculator accounts. My calculator key is gone because there's like a little calculator button and it pops up a calculator. And all this talk and uproar just because one small thing in our lives was changed. And the Bureau didn't make this change in laptops to like annoy us. There was like something for them to do and just kill time. No, they gave us these laptops because they're an improvement. They're a step up in what we had. They have a faster, like, processing speed, which will allow us to do our jobs better. So today my topic is change, and that's changing in our Christian lives. Did you know God expects us to change? Ephesians 4, verses 14 through 16, it says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. God wants us to grow. The verse says that we be no more children. It also says that, quote, we may grow up into him in all things. Growth is necessary to be a better Christian, but it's not required. The verse says may. You may do these things should you choose to. So you don't have to change after you get saved. Changing or growing spiritually is not a requirement to be a Christian. But it's something that God figures you would want to do. I mean, we all grew up as humans. We were born babies, but we didn't stay babies. No, we learned to sit up on our own, to crawl, to walk, to run. We eventually learned to read and write. We all went to school. We learned about different topics, history, science. We learned how to do math. And eventually, if you're already not there, you're going to be adults. You're going to be done with school. You're going to be out, you know, growing even more as adults. As a contrast, I think of someone who has Down syndrome. I have a soft spot in my heart for people with Down syndrome. When I see them out, it just makes me sad. But it's sad that they were born in that condition through no one's fault. But those individuals will never grow mentally beyond a certain point. Their bodies are going to continue to grow and mature and age, but their minds won't continue developing beyond a certain point. That's what can happen to a Christian who doesn't grow spiritually. Their bodies, too, will continue to grow and age, but their spiritual development never gets beyond a certain point. And Paul had to deal with these types of individuals. He called them babes, meaning babies. 1 Corinthians 3:2 says, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. Paul is saying, I've only given you simple concepts to learn until now because you're not able to grasp these huge concepts. And then he says, even now, you've not grown enough to understand difficult topics. They hadn't progressed to that next level. And just like with our kids, we weren't able to teach them how to read books yet or do math problems. No, they're still babies. We had to start with small learning things, learning letters, learning the alphabet, learning to identify them. Brady practices writing his letters, and we have to get that stuff down before we can move on to the next level. He says again in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 and 13, for when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. From this verse we see that there are people who are putting in the time. They come to church service. They come to Bible study. They come to youth group, youth leadership. They've heard the principles and the concepts taught, but they haven't done a thing with them. It says that they've been taught already, but they didn't do anything to progress to the next level. They should be ready to lead others with all the training that they've had, but they're unable to. Think of it like someone who fails a class or a grade in school. Those kids get held back. They have to repeat a class or a grade all over again. They were present on those school days. They sat in the class. But they didn't learn the information sufficient enough, and they were told to repeat the class. Now, like I said earlier, spiritual growth is not a requirement for a Christian. No, you can be a Christian and never grow spiritually. You can take salvation, and that can be the end. You can go back to your normal routine, your way of doing things, or you can take your salvation and change. You can become something for God. Spiritual growth, though, it's not automatic. It takes work on our part. There are no shortcuts or tricks or magic pills that will turn you into a better Christian. Bob always gives the example of, you know, he says, it's not like you reach a certain day and time and then God says, okay, now he's ready. Pull back his brain and dump all the information in. It doesn't happen like that. 1 Corinthians 9:24-26 says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. We are running a race. As followers of Christ, we are in a race. A race that's dependent on endurance and stamina. It isn't a sprint, but rather a full-fledged marathon where we have an end and a prize to look forward to. And as with any athlete, our end is dependent on how well we run our race. We might start strong, but what does it say about how the middle goes or the end? I told you today that I was going to be talking about change, and I haven't really gotten into that yet. But I first wanted to show you that even though God would like us to change and grow stronger and have a better relationship with him, it's not required as a Christian. You have the free will to choose that on your own. Well, now let's say that you're in the other category. You are someone who does desire a better relationship with God. You want to be closer to Him. You want to learn His Word. Do you ever feel like your relationship with God has plateaued? You find yourself reading your Bible just to check it off the list. Your prayers are stale and quick. If you find yourself in this category of someone who desires a closer walk with God, is there anything holding you back? Do you have spiritual goals? Most of us have worldly goals. Goals to get into a certain college, get a good SAT score, make a sports team, get a certain job at a place, buy a new house. And they don't all have to be life-changing goals. They can be some smaller ones like cleaning out your closet, you know, getting papers organized, or training to run a 5K. But do you have spiritual goals? Maybe you've thought about getting the outlines down for all the books of the Bible, or learning to teach someone discipleship, or working on your prayer life or scripture memorization, or even attend church service regularly, starting there, or reading your Bible daily, starting there. We all set goals in order to better ourselves. Our problem isn't usually identifying those goals. Our problem is taking the steps necessary to achieve them. We make a litany of excuses for why our goals don't get checked off our lists. We become our own worst enemies. At my job, we are required to create a weekly itinerary. Yes, we are to itemize out each day and what tasks we are striving to accomplish. We do this in order to make sure our audits keep moving forward. For those of you who don't know, I work for the, I do accounting, and right now I work for the Missouri Department of Revenue as a tax auditor. And so we don't just get one audit to do at a time. We get like 10. So when I create this weekly itinerary, I get all my folders for all my taxpayers, and I'm like, okay, where's this one at? What needs to happen? Do I need to call them? Am I waiting on records for them? Do we need to have a meeting? Am I done doing field work and we've got some issues and I need to sit down and talk to them with my supervisor? You know, all those kinds of things. I, you know, plan out my week each day, and I do that in order to keep them moving forward. Today, camp is in 29 days. Think back to last year's camp, if you were there. Did you get stirred up to make a change in your Christian walk?
No.
Or improve your relationship with God? He wasn't there, it doesn't count. Or improve your relationship with God? If so, where are you at in terms of achieving those goals? Have you made any steps to achieve them? Camp is an awesome experience, if you've never been. You're isolated from a lot of the worldly things that distract us. There's no TV, there's no iPhones, there's no internet. For us adults, there's no work, there's no traffic jams and woes. I don't have to make dinner for my family and do baths and brush teeth. No, it's just a time where you can be with your Christian friends. You can be around the Word of God. Here you can hear preaching and you get to sing about God. It's an amazing time. And oftentimes, because we are in that state of fellowship with God and other believers, God stirs up our hearts. The Holy Spirit will bring to mind things that we know we need to change or do a better job at. And we've seen it before. Towards the end of the week, Marcus will go around and he'll do the camp testimonials. And he'll ask those exact types of questions. What are you taking away from camp this year? What did you learn this week at camp? But if you notice, he also asks, what does the you in 1 month need to be reminded of? What do you need to hear in 1 month? The Bible says that we have infirmities, and an infirmity is a weakness. The Bible mentions that we have three infirmities, and one of those is that we forget. Psalm 77 verses 9 and 10 says, and I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. this year at camp, I encourage you to list out your goals. Remember, like the verse says, the things that the Holy Spirit convicts you of, those desires that you have to grow in your walk with God. It's a great time to identify those areas. This is your first step at growing spiritually. Identify those areas. Be specific. What do you want to do? What areas do you want to improve upon? Don't just say, I want to do a better job. I want to be a better Christian. How do you want to change? How do you need to change? Do you not read your Bible every day? A specific goal would be reading my Bible every day for at least 5 minutes. Do you want to memorize scripture? Make a goal of memorizing one verse a month. The second thing that you could do would be tell someone about your goal so they can hold you accountable. Oftentimes, we like to keep those spiritual goals a secret. We like to keep them to ourselves. Now, maybe it's because you don't want to appear to be a show-off, and you're just humble, and you're just trying to accomplish these things on your own. I get that. But other times, I know we don't share our goals because they're truly not a goal that we're trying to accomplish. It's just a dream or a wish that we could have those things. We have no intention of accomplishing them. And therefore, we don't share them with anyone. Why would I share a goal of, I'm working on getting all the outlines down for each book of the Bible, when I have no intention of actually doing that? And then, man, if I actually tell someone that, they might ask me at some point down the road how that's coming along. I don't want that. So another thing that can help you accomplish your goals is to tell someone else about that so they can hold you accountable. So my third and final point about growing spiritually and changing and having a better relationship with God is to make these goals small goals. When I mentioned examples earlier, they were small goals. Reading your Bible for 5 minutes, memorizing one verse a month. Those are small goals to start out. To get you in a routine, to establish a pattern. Once you get those down, you can make another goal. Read for 20 minutes a day. Memorize one verse a week now. I think a lot of people get into trouble by setting too large of goals. We see people like Pastor Bob up here with all this knowledge, not only about the Bible, but about history. And we think, man, I wish I could do that. And we have that in our minds as a goal. We make the goal so big, we have no chance of getting it done, and it gets discouraging. Now, you probably don't know this, but I am the true athlete in the Sanders family. You probably thought it might be Zach or even Alex, but it's actually me. I don't like to talk about it too much because I don't want to make a big deal about it, but I'm actually sponsored. Yep, that's right, I have certain individuals who sponsor me when I'm out training so I can develop my running skills. In fact, just last week when I was out running, I received another one of my sponsorship contributions. That's right, someone paid me 11 cents, one dime and one penny. I found them when I was out running last week. I'm not sure why they pay me in loose coins, but I'll take it. So a lot of times, when I'm out running and I feel like quitting, I think of my fans and my sponsors. And I say to myself, Jenny, you can't stop. These people believe in you. They want you to succeed. And I'm able to continue on. But I use this as a silly example. It is true I do find loose change all the time. But when I do get tired while running, I try to set small goals for myself in order to keep going. I say, okay, to the top of the hill, then you can take a break. Or just to the end of the street. And when it gets really bad, I look at those little lines on the sidewalk, and I make each square my goal. It's the same for spiritual goals. Don't try to tackle the whole mountain at once. Make small incremental changes. So you say, what's the point to spiritual growth anyways? I'm fine. My life is good. I have no problems. I'm content. What's the need to change? What's the need to grow and expand myself and make all those sacrifices? We grow spiritually in order to hold it over people's heads. It's a great opportunity to throw it in their face and to say,
Amen.
I read my Bible 12 times through this year, or I've got 100 verses of scripture memorized. You want to be able to lord over them how great you are and how far beyond they are compared to you. No, I said that to see if you're still listening. But no, of course, that's not why we grow spiritually. We grow spiritually because whether or not you realize it, at the end of the day, your relationship with God and your closeness to Him is the only thing that is going to bring you true joy and happiness in life. All the things that we are told to idolize in life, friends, popularity, money, success, 401k plans, big houses, those are all empty, vain goals if we don't have a deep personal relationship with God. If you think about it, we just lost two famous people, Anthony Bourdain and Kate Spade. They both committed suicide. Both of those individuals had everything we are told to strive for in life. They had money, fame, influence, recognition, but something was missing. They had no hope, no joy, and God was totally missing from their lives. It will be the same for us. If we don't put God first in our life, if we choose to put other things before that, we too will not have joy and peace in our lives. So this year, as we all get prepared to go to camp, how are we going to change? How are we going to take the opportunities that camp provides and that closeness that we feel with God during that time and the things the Holy Spirit communicates to you? What are you going to do with them? In 1 year's time from now, will you think back to this year and not have moved one step forward? Will you remain in that same lethargic state that you're in right now? I want to leave you with a quote from someone. These are words that were spoken by someone, not necessarily like on their deathbed, but towards the end of his life. His name is Patrick Henry. He was an American statesman who lived in like the mid-1700s. So just before his death, he remarked to a friend who found him reading his Bible. He said, "Here is a book worth more than all the other books which were ever printed. Yet it is my misfortune never to have, till lately, found time to read it with proper attention and feeling." Patrick Henry was a Christian. He wasn't someone bound for hell. He read his Bible, but he said not with proper attention and feeling. That's the reading through our Bibles just to check it off my list mentality. That's not reading your Bible in order to develop a better relationship with God, to allow Him to speak to you during those times. Patrick had regret at the end of his life. Will you? Will you get to the end of your life and think back and wish you'd done more? Or will your final thoughts and words be more like the Apostle Paul's? In 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 and 7, he says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." So that's what I have for you today. Thank you for listening.
Good job, babe. That's what you got for both of them. I packed you. Change. That's huge. Now, I really like what Jenny was talking about. Just, I think one of the biggest points that she laid out was just about when you're trying to make changes in your life, set small goals. You know, I was thinking about, this past year coming out of the winter or what little winter we had. You know, I was thinking about, man, I want to, you know, really start to exercise. I want to be able to keep up, you know, with the kids or what they're doing, whatever sports they're doing and stuff like that. And I was thinking about, like, how am I going to do that though? I mean, at one point I was, you know, doing it to such a level in my life and I haven't done anything for like 6 months now. How am I going to jump back into the game and start going again? God, I told myself, I was like, you know what, let's just, instead of sitting at your desk chair, let's first just start standing up, you know, the whole day and start doing it like that. You know what, from that, don't worry about going out and running, you know, a certain amount of miles or whatnot. Let's just go out and, you know, let's just walk for an hour, you know, type of deal. I mean, stuff like that before, if I would have heard somebody say it back when I was like in really good shape, you know, would have cracked up and laughed, you know, like, oh, that guy's a sissy or something like that. But, you know, for me, I had to encourage myself to get back exercising in ways that didn't intimidate me. You know, if I would have started throwing out the exercises I used to do, I would have been like, oh, it's no use. I'm never going to get back to there. But we got to do the same thing spiritually. You know, don't worry about the people that you see memorizing tons of verses that are consistent at everything and reading their Bible. Just say, you know what? I'm going to show up at church on Thursday and Sunday. And then after that, you know what? I'm going to try to stay engaged the whole time Bob's talking. You know, seriously. That's an hour and a half. You kidding me, man? That's a tough deal. That's good for self-discipline, and it's going to be very beneficial to you if you're staying engaged. You're going to be picking up a lot of good things. But then after that, just say, you know what? Each day I'm going to try to read a Proverbs a day. And then just continue to go ahead and do that. Then you're going to build up consistency in your life. Before you know it, you're going to have an actual relationship with God, an actual life that has, you know, discipline and structure to it biblically. And you're going to start to see that change in your life. You're going to start to see that change in yourself. So, Jenny, thank you so much for sharing that with us. It was very good. Very, very fun, too. We're going to go ahead and go over our song that we learned last time. I know my name is there. There's one new part that we can change in that. I'll see if you guys want to do the change or keep it like it is. And I told you guys, yeah. the girls are changing. Yeah. The girls are going higher and all that stuff. No, we're gonna do that. And then I did not end up getting around to printing off the "How Deep the Father's Love" parts. I know. Shame. The only other thing we could do if we wanted to do another song, it would be to do What does that mean? Jesus is coming again. Do a melody and the bass part. But that's about it. After that, the Powers, thank God, they brought some fudge sickles and ice cream bars. So we have a refreshment waiting on us. You guys can just hang out, socialize after that, and get ready to head back into the week. So that's all. What do you want to do? You want to gather around the panel again? Justin's passing out the packets. Me and Sarah are
going to
help. Watch out, everything's going to go. Try it.
No, this is going to be awesome.
They're so strong.
Isn't that ridiculous?
That's crazy. Watch your toes, dude. That's what I'm worried about. That's why we always cry, like when he says move this thing.
You cry?
Yeah.
Get down on your knees.
Oh, fuck. Okay, there you go. Thank you, Sarah.
So this is his view.
This is his view right there, sir.
Right. To the exit.
Good job, babe. Good. Oh. God, we're so cute.
Laughing.
Why not? Why is that so funny?
Silly.